try to win souls without that we need from the Lord. You know, he craves our presence. He wouldn't have made man if he didn't. See, he could have had a robotic way of getting people into his kingdom. But he didn't choose that. He chose something else. He chose that he would pay the price where we had failed, that we could enter into a relationship with him and complete the work that he had begun. Do you understand it? You know, it's far more important, like Brother said, you see, when he gave his testimony, we go out there very often without praying. Man, we're dead ducks. What have we got to offer this world without we go out armed and charged up by the power of God? You know, when I worked for the Prudential, I worked 13 years before I went into the ministry. I've been 13, this is my 33rd year as an AOG minister, you know, and I've learnt a lot in that time. You know, we've got a lot to learn. Times are changing. We're living in a world we've not lived in before. This world's in a mess. This country's in a bigger mess than this world. It's in a terrible mess. We've got to know God's ways. You know, we have meetings, we give appeals, and we push people into the kingdom of God, and they're not even ready. You see, we've got to learn something. How can a man receive a pardon when he doesn't know what the crime is? You know what I mean, don't you, Peter? We talk for hours in here. See, if we're going to get people saved, we've got to have something in our lives that convicts them. Amen. Amen. We've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit on us. We've got to have an anointing like we've never had, and like this world has never seen. You see, how can a man or woman come into salvation and be found by God unless they know they're lost? Yeah? They walk into our churches and all they see is lifestyle. Well, join that, they look a happy bunch of people, and then they see something in our lives that's not been quite perfected by God, and it dashes them. Do you understand me? We have got to change our structure. You know, I wasn't going to say this, but I knew I was going to minister tonight. Because when you know God, you know God. You know. And when you know, you know. You know, you know. Because you know that you know that you know. And if you know, you know, then you know that you know that you know. Now that is common logic, actually, friends. We've got to change our system. Oh, let's get them in. And we get them into a system instead of getting them into a love relationship with the living God. I fall in love with Jesus more every day. Because I have communion with him. I know Felix. I know Felix well. We've been around a long time, haven't we, Felix? We share a lot of the same things in our viewpoints and things like that. It's got to change. I mean, whoever, ever invented this system we've got, like sitting in here tonight, it's a good thing to do. But you see, if the power of God's in me, he isn't just in me when I go to a meeting, when I get up and do my Bible study, it's in me all the time. It has to be resident in me. You know, I don't fall in love with my wife when I wake up. I'm in love with her all the time. And that gets better. Is that right? Do you find that? And it's got to be the same with Jesus. You see, we're getting people into the kingdom, but they're not into the kingdom at all. You see, you can't get into... Listen, I'll argue with anyone. You can't get into the kingdom without repentance. Because there isn't anybody good enough, and I don't care how good they think they are, and how good you think you are. See, we're all three people. I'm the person I think I am. I'm the person that you think I am. But I am the person God knows I am. Yeah. God knows I need dealing with. 6 years ago, I gave up my pastorate. I handed over the church to my son, you know, and I thought, right, I was 59 years of age, I thought, I've got 6 years to go. God, why have you told me I've got to give up my pastorate? Because I have got a steady wage. Not a big one, but I've got a steady wage, and God brought me into something I hadn't been before. Do you know what I mean? I've got to rely on Him. Do you know, 6 years wasn't long to go, but God changed me in those 6 years. He broke some of the things in my life that needed breaking because I was in the system. Do you know what I'm saying? I could get up on a Sunday, I could get a sermon, get a sermon together in 10 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean God was in it, but I could do it. Any fool can preach. Anybody can put a sermon together, but we need to start talking about the anointing. We're entering into days that we have not been into before. We are entering into things that we have not seen before. There are things out there on the horizon that our government knows better than you and I. And only God can counteract them. Only God is the answer to all the problems out there. The reason he doesn't... Do you know what Gandhi said? Gandhi said this. Gandhi was a wise man. Not many people know this. But when Eric Hutchins, the great evangelist, was moving about the 1930s and doing crusades in London, someone took Gandhi, the great Indian man, to a meeting. And he answered to the appeal. Did you know that? He answered to the appeal for salvation. And because they'd come by bus, the person that had brought him to the meeting was impatient, and he said, if they don't hurry up, there was such a queue. Isn't that great that there were so many in the queue for salvation, there wasn't enough people there to counsel them? I think that's fantastic.
Amen, yeah.
Yeah? That shows us where we are, doesn't it? When God does move, God does move. And the man said to him, he tagged him like that, and he said, we shall have to be going in 5 minutes. And Gandhi got on that bus because his friend pulled him out of the queue. And do you know what he said? Isn't this sad? He said, well, all I can say is this, if their God isn't worth waiting for, he isn't worth having. And we lost a man who could have had a great influence in the kingdom of God, because God was moving. You see, God is moving, and God is doing things. The whole structure, I'm going to tell you prophetically now, there's going to be a revival in 2011. God has specifically told me, I haven't been wrong yet, I was not wrong with the revival over there in America. God told me about that revival. I know the evangelist went wrong. That doesn't mean God went wrong.
Right.
When you look to man, it goes wrong, friends.
Yeah?
My trouble was being idolized as a pastor, and then when people began to look at me, the church began to falter. Because they got their eyes off God. Do you know what I'm saying? We have to have our eyes on God. And when they got their eyes off, we had two people in the church I was in at the time who, people say that wasn't a real revival in America, wasn't it? We had two people who put their hands on the TV screen when they were praying for the sick and they were instantly healed. Well, if that's the devil, come on, devil. Amen.
Yeah.
They were definitely healed. God moved in that revival. And I said it would be short. We even got it to about a fortnight, and it started in that. God told me the earthquake was coming that we had that shook Great Britain a couple of years ago. Do you remember it?
Yes.
I stood in my kitchen at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the whole house was shaking, and a 2-litre bottle of Coke was coming at me across the across the worktop. You know, but it happened, and something wonderful happened. Because seismologists can't understand why Britain wasn't damaged. Because at its epicentre it reached 5.4, which is enough to bring down chimneys.
Mm.
Yes? It is. And nothing happened. Hardly any house was damaged, hardly a tile went off. I said to God, God, what is happening? You told me this earthquake was coming. He said, yeah, I'm going to show the world that I'm here. He said, but I want to tell you, I love England that much that I put my hand over it. And there was no damage. And there was no damage. God has shown us many, many things. Things are changing, friend. We're coming into something we've not been into before. You see, we can't build the church without we do it God's way. What a mess has been made of things. God knows what he's doing. In 1703, three men were born. And 8 years later, in 1711, another man was born. And those four men changed this world. That was John Wesley, John Whitfield, Gilbert Tennent, and Jonathan Edwards. And they were all born within 8 years. In fact, three of them were born the same year because God knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing. You're going to see people of these youngsters' age doing things for God. Yeah? Because God's in the clear out time with his church. I need to tell you that prophetically. It's a clear out time. Don't worry about not seeing people. God knows what he's doing to you. God knows what he's doing. In Ephesians chapter 4 is the blueprint for building the church. God said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He also went on to say, and whatever you bind on earth, he's already, he actually said in the original Greek, is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. God has given power to his church that has not yet been released upon this world. We have not yet seen, in any revival, we have not seen what God is capable of doing. And he does it through his people. The blueprint for the church is found in Ephesians chapter 4. At the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the unity of the Spirit and the unity of the faith. See, God's had an immense problem. Because Pentecostals thought they'd got it all and didn't like the other denominations. Now the other denominations have caught the Pentecostals up. I go around and preaching in my own denomination in Assemblies of God Church, and they're not even Pentecostal. Because they've never moved in the things of God. See, God has a plan, and we're not moving in that plan. When you move down further to verse 10 and 11, it said, God has set in the church. The church of Jesus Christ cannot be built unless it's built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and it's built upon the word of God. He said, God has set in the church some to be the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist and teacher. Then he goes on to say, there is no comma in the original. It looks like it says, God has set in the church some to be the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist and teacher. I think it's verse 11 of Ephesians 4. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. There is no comma in the original. It's for the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist and teacher. See, I got shoved into pastoring and I'm not a pastor. Yeah, I had tremendous... Felix here, it's a witness. It's amazing how someone's here tonight. We had a fantastic church up there in Derbyshire, didn't we? The power of God, you can only say glory to God. It's nothing I had. It was right man, right place, right time, but not a pastor. But since I gave up my churches 6 years ago, I've begun to move in that God called me to do. You see, the church can't go forward unless it has a release of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist and teacher. It's the hand of God reaching out to this world. The prophet is that finger. It points the way for people. The apostle is the strongest finger. It grounds the church. And it sends out the people. We have not seen the apostle. They tell us that we're in the apostolic. No, we're not. We've just come into the prophetic. We've just come into where God is telling his people what needs to be done. When he already told them when the New Testament was learnt in Ephesians 4. Because what he's actually saying is you can't build the church unless you build it upon the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist and teacher. You're going to see evangelists like you've never seen before. You're going to see young people. You see, the devil hasn't harmed things really. He has overall, but in God's plan he hasn't, because the young people of today know that what they've got's not real. They know drugs aren't real. They know horoscopes aren't real. But they haven't seen the real thing in the Church of Jesus Christ. They haven't seen what God has got for his people. When the prophet starts to move and point out, when the apostle begins to plant the real churches that need planting, when the teacher gets going, to our shame in assemblies of God, and I'm not here to knock them tonight, to our shame, what we have done is just supported a pastor. The poor old evangelist has had to believe God. It's not a bad thing to believe God, but the scripture says that the laborer is worthy of his hire. He is worthy of being paid when he's studying and moving in his ministry. Do you know what I'm saying? That is God's structure. But we haven't got those things. Then we'll see the teacher moving in all the full. If the people of God need one thing, it's the Word of God. It's missing. You know, I feel sorry for people that are looking for a church and they go around and they go into church and somebody gets up and can't preach for Tuffy. Do you know what I got? Because we haven't got a release of the gifts. God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But how will he do it? Through the apostle, through the prophet, through the pastor, through the evangelist, and through the teacher. Also, what is waiting to be released is the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. You go into some churches, ALG churches, and never hear a single gift working. You know, there are people, I say to people, when did you last speak in tongues, your spirit filled? Oh well, quite a while ago. I have never missed a day since I was filled. Because the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. And I want direct contact with the living God, and through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, he has given me direct contact. I speak to him in a heavenly language that he has personally given to me. Amen. And it goes on to say, howbeit he speaks in mysteries. No one can really unravel and see what the glory of being filled with the Holy Spirit is. Do you know, when I can't work something out, I spend 15 minutes, half an hour, maybe an hour, solidly in tongues, and I never come out without the answer. Because it is a gift given to each and every one of us. Amen? It's given to you. It's given to every one of us. And they're not happening. Where is the healings? The national health's in a mess. Yeah? We could help it out. Amen? Heal the sick. What does it say in Matthew 10? What is it, 28? Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. But we're frightened to death. Hallelujah. When I work for the insurance, you know, I work for the Prudential. Am I okay, Pete? I work for the Prudential. If I'm not, stop me. I'm fine. I work for the Prudential. And I went to, you know, I was collecting, and I got round to, I was on this Pine Close, it was called. There was 40 old people's bungalows going round. You went that way and came out that way. And I got to this house, you know, and I knocked on the door, the old lady, and I could hear just this moaning, so I just shouted, I said, "Here in Hetty," and I pushed the door open. She was on the floor. She was just laid there. She said, "Can't get up. I can't move." I said, "Okay." I said, "Now look, I remember you when I was a young boy. You went to the same church as me. Do you believe Jesus Christ can heal you right now?" She said, "Yes." So I got hold of her and I said, "Get up in Jesus' name." Up she got. So I went round the cul-de-sac of about 10 or 15 calls, got the other side. She was stood at the door, going like that. She'd got 2 more people with her. She said, "I want you to pray for these." Man alive, I love being an insurance man, but I love serving Jesus more. What, the old lady next door to her, her fingers were like that. I said, do you know Jesus? She said, not really. I said, okay, we'll talk after. I said, okay, I'm going to put my hands on yours. I said, in Jesus' name you're healed. And they opened up like that. I sent them all to Claycross AOG Church, and the pastor rang me up. He said, do you know Etty? I forgot the other two. And do you know this Annie and Etty and this other lady? And I said, yeah. He said, they came on Sunday and got saved. This is what Christianity is. Yeah? Great what you've done, Peter, because you've gathered people tonight. This is not a criticism. In this lovely place, and on all them talks we've had, have sanctified it anyway. If any of these don't walk out of here healed tonight, then that's their fault.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. No, I'm not showing off. I'm just telling you. You know, but we've put God in a box. Yeah? The gifts are for out there. Yeah, why can't we? You know, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Give what you've got. Amen. And if you've got a ministry gift as well, every one of you have a gift. That's what the Bible says. Everyone has a gift that is filled with the Holy Spirit. God is waiting to do something through his church. He said, I will build my church. You're going on his orders. He sends us out, doesn't he? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-18. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? I forgot the next. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. He said, if they drink any deadly thing, the only people that can't die before the time are the people that are spirit-filled and serving God. And you can't die before your time. I'll argue with anybody. Amen. Because if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And it says he was caught up into heaven though. That great commission is given to the church. But where is it? It's hidden, isn't it? And it's hidden, and it says it's hidden to them that are lost. Ephesians 4 says, God has said in the church, the apostle, prophet, I know it's happening. I believe we shall see the birth pangs of the beginnings of revival in November 2011. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. I'm not ashamed to say it. My reputation's gone if it doesn't happen, because I believe God, and I know it's going to happen. Then I said to God something which was very interesting. I don't know everything. And I said, God, why is it November that it started? He said, well, read all you can about the latter rain and the former rain. See, the Bible, when we read the revival in, Joel, it talks about the former rain and the latter rain coming down upon the earth. When I got to reading, do you know when the former rain, see what happens is, when they're planting their crops, they have the former rain to establish them, then they have the latter rain, which comes around April, May time, to bring forth the fruit and the crop. Do you know when the former rain starts? November. Because God is going to link the natural to the spiritual. So much of what happens in the spirit realm is linked to natural type of things. That's how God explained things in the parables, as Jesus explained them. Actually, what he did say is, you're so dumb, I've got to make it simple for you. Amen. Then I got to the Welsh Revival, and Peter, bless him, he's such a wonderful guy, gets me all these books, cheap. Yeah? I have studied revival all my life from being 11 years of age. I wasn't born again till I was about, I was nearly 21, I was 20 when I was born again. But from 11 years of age, God told me to memorise 2 scriptures a day, and I did. From 11. Because I had a godly mum and dad. Thank God we'll soon be joining them.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. This world is not going to go on like you think. It's coming. And it's coming fast. You see, when God loves his people, he blesses them. Acts 3:19 says, repent. And then he goes on to say, the times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. We are headed. I asked God, I said, what is this for in America? That last revival that they had, and I understand it is still going. He said, because I love them, and I like to refresh my people. See, revival's a time of refreshing. Yes? You see, Peter and his dad, we pray for them every day, Leslie and I, and his dear wife Jane here, you know, and they've got Melvin coming. Now that is, this is not criticism, because I'll be praying like mad and I'll be coming along. But that is man finding evangelism. Amen. Which we're told to do. Right? But revival is God planning.
Yes. Amen.
Revival is God. When God, he said suddenly in the Welsh revival, in the north of Wales and the south of Wales, in the second week of November, revival came. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but God planned it. You understand me? So I know something's going to happen in November of next year. I know that because I know in my spirit and I know it's right. No one can convince me otherwise. But isn't it, won't it be good? It'll be a first time. You see, Leslie and I, my dear wife, have seen one small revival. And it happened, I'm not good on days, so many years ago in Pilsley at the Methodist Church, and we just got filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and it was during those power cuts, do you remember them, when, many years ago, those power cuts, and they cut all the electric off, and we had prayer meetings in the vestry, in candlelight, and came out into black streets, aren't we? It was like that. No lights or anything. It was at that time, so it's a lot of years ago. And 29 young people got saved in 2 weeks. The ALG pastor said to me, Roy Smith from Homewood, he said, Brian, that's the nearest I've ever seen to a revival. I want to tell you, we didn't have anything to do with it. We just conformed with God. The worst 2 young men in that village of Pilsley got saved. The worst 2, you couldn't imagine what man alive, they were big and all, you wouldn't want to have gone up against them. I remember we came out one night, the lights were on that particular night, because occasionally they have them on, not all the time. And this big woman stood there, and she said, right, it's you lot, is it? And this young man, Pedro they called him, that had got saved. And my friend was stood with me. She knocked him on the floor. She hit him with an handbag. I don't know what was in it, but she hit him with this handbag. Then she hit me. You know, and I'm reeling round. And then we said, right, he stopped her. And we said, what is the matter with you? She said, I don't know what you've done with my husband, but I liked him how he was. And he used to knock her around. It was a mighty revival. Do you know what I'm saying? Leslie and I, praise God, we have never been able to settle for less. It's been almost it's been a thing we've been looking for this. You see, you can't make revival happen. No, but we can follow some of the shoots. We can see when it's coming. Can't you see that this poor governor doesn't have the answer? Can't you see that? I think they'll do okay, and they'll do the best. Because when man starts, you see, God is showing us something, and the critics are at it already. Man is trying to work together for the betterment of the country. And already there's people against it. And this is what's been happening in the church. But God is saying, come on, you spirit-filled people, get it together. Amen. Get together what I've given to you. Because I didn't give it to you to be separate. I didn't give it to you to do your own thing. It all works together. Because on one of the scriptures where we understand where God does things in our lives, we understand how he talks about the body, and he says he brings bone to bone. And you see, we're living in an Ezekiel type experience where God said to Ezekiel when he took him to the valley of dry bones, he said, can these dry bones live? He said, thou knowest, O Lord. He said, okay. Now listen to what he did. He said, you speak to them. We are crying out to God and saying, do something, Lord, and we all do that. And it's the wrong type of prayer, because God is saying, you do it. I've given it to you.
Hallelujah.
In John 14, verse 12, he says this, Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, come on, it's for every one of you, and I'm sure you can say it with me, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Thank you, Lord. I know I'm not worthy of praying for the sick. I know I'm not worthy, but boy, I'm going to have a go. Amen. Because of what he's done. And I realise I have to cultivate my relationship with Jesus. It's not about the plans we've got. It's about the plans he's got. And if I don't get close to him, I don't know what he wants and I don't know what he's thinking. But I know when I speak to him in God, he says, howbeit, he speaketh mysteries. You read 1 Corinthians 14, how it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God, howbeit, he speaketh mysteries. There are things God wants to plant in your mind that are for eternity. There are things God wants to plant in your mind that are for the now. Because there are people out there that are crying out. They know government doesn't have the answer. They know the horoscope isn't the answer. But they've not been able to look at the church and say, yes, this is the answer. This is God's answer to a needy world. Without the fivefold ministry, without the gifts of the Spirit, it's not going to happen the way God wants it to happen. This will be the last move of God. Peter found me an amazing book by Arthur Wallace, Rain from Heaven. You know, and I've read many, many times Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revival Tarries. You know, and it's all, I never, even all the time I was pastoring, I could never get out of my spirit, man. Revival, revival, revival is the answer. You know, and I remember, you know, I thought, when I was young, man, I was going to take the world for Jesus when I was young. And I did do my best, you know what I mean? But you see, out of position. You see, you know what happens to a football team when somebody's in there out of position. It can't play its best, can it? God is trying to put his church into the position that he wants its people. There's got to be some good pastors raised up that can take a hold of these people and say, look, I want to help you and I really want to get you into the ministry that God has called you to. Instead of running around. That's why people run around trying different churches. Because they haven't found what their ministry is. You understand me? That's the problem. And you know, imagine me. 13 years of pastor and not a pastor. Man alive, and I loved people. I thought that was the only requirement I needed. But no, it isn't. Because you see, God's gifts are supernatural, aren't they? They're supernatural. Do you know, I haven't got the patience to be a pastor, really. Though I did the work of a pastor, and I would speak to people and pastor them. You know, I get somebody who's telling me something or another, and I want to go, well, I'd love to bang your heads together. It's so obvious. But you can't. And the pastor, I have found one thing, you might laugh at this, but it's true. If you want to be a good pastor, you've got to be a good tea drinker. Because you've got to be able to sit there and listen. So what I did at Leibrooks, and Leibrooks was successful, praise God. Because I said, God, I'm not a pastor, I need a pastor. Give me one. And he did. You remember Derek? The little chubby one? The best pastor in the world. He used to take me out some days with him. He said, look, I've been out to sort that job, but they want to see you as well. So I'd go. When we got to the door, he'd knock on the door and he'd go, hey, listen to what they've got to say before you give them the answer. Which showed me, brother, I hadn't got the gift. But it worked well. But it was difficult. You see, whatever you think you are is a strength to you, wrongfully. And it's very difficult to change from what you are to what God knows you are. And I remember this lady came up to me. I'm just telling you things to explain to you how difficult it is. And this lady came up to me, Alice her name, lovely woman. And she said, Pastor, she said, they always call me that. She said, Pastor, I've asked Derek to come and see me because I need a few things sorting out. And I said, great, that's great. He said, but he won't come unless it's all right with you. I said, great. And I turned around like that and I thought, what am I here for? I'm supposed to be the pastor. There's a lot in us that isn't any use to God. And he's got to get rid of it. Amen. I've had the most painful 6 years. But I wouldn't change it. Because I know now I'm moving in what God called me to move in. Because doors are opening and things are happening. That's how I know. The proof of the pudding is always in the eating, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying? And I know it's working and I know God has got great things. Do you know what I'm saying? And I said that and I was ashamed. I had to repent before God. Because this man was a pastor. He could just sit there. I mean, some of us, it's difficult, isn't it, when people are going on. And, you know, and he just sits there with his cup of tea. I'll have another while they finish him. Because that's his pastoral gift. You see, God knows all this. It's there. Why are we doing things here? I've been saying it for years. A guy came over from America. You know, not Don Carpenter, but that's Canada, but another guy, and he said to my wife, he said, your husband, he said, he can't be an ALG minister. She said, she wondered what he was going to say. She said, well, why can't he be? He's been an ALG minister for a long time. He says, he's too radical. No, I'm not radical, friends. I'm sensible. And I've learned. But I've learned this. But I've learned one thing, and I'm going to shut up, Pete. I've learned this. We have got to fall deeper in love with Jesus. Amen. Now, I like what Felix said, because I've heard him say that 20 times. Yeah, I love the man. I've sat in his caravan, admiring all his Crown Derby. Bless him. You know, I won't tell him about that toy. I went round and he gave me I don't know how many cups of coffee and a slice of ham. And I said, have you got a toilet? What a silly thing to say to travellers. And he goes, what do you want? I won't say what he said. He wasn't rude. And I said, well, you know, he said, get on the edge. So if you're wondering what a joke is, that's the joke. Yeah. I didn't know. I understood you lost your dear lady. I didn't know Felix. I only met her that once. But I know all. Loads of the daughters and... Which one's... Is that your boy?
That's my son-in-law. Frankie.
Your son-in-law?
Frankie, yeah.
Right.
And
I remember...
The
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
we go back a long while.
Sorry, people, I'm forgetting to say that, Lord. Can you do something when you don't know where you are?
That's right. Yeah. I've heard him You see, he knows how to cultivate his relationship with Jesus. It's unfortunately that many Christians don't. You know, if you love me, we've got to love him. Like we've never loved him before, we've got to hang on to him. Because don't you believe it? Hard times are coming, but they won't be hard for us, like the world. You see, he will not allow us to be tempted. Isn't he wonderful, God? He will not allow us to be tempted at all, but what we're able to bear will with the temptation make a way of escape possible. He loves us. You know, when I wake up in the morning, my first thoughts are Jesus. You know, we've grown up in a world because so many words like, we've got a friend called Gay. Now, can you imagine the hammer she gets with a name like that? But you know what I'm talking about, the world. So people so often are frightened to say, I'm in love with Jesus. And do you know what? I'm falling deeper in love. We're not ashamed to sing the chorus, are we? I keep falling in love with him over and over again. But sometimes we're too frightened to say it. That world needs to know that we love him. Now what he said about the disciples is this. They knew. They have been with Jesus. You and I will know we're on the right road when people know and see Jesus in us. The greatest compliment I ever had as a preacher, you might not think I'm one, but was this. I took a ladies' meeting in Whittington Moor in Chesterfield, and there were 30-something women in. And I preached my heart out. I know I did. I preached my heart out. And I know I got it right from God. Nobody seemed to respond. And I'm walking around to the car. And this little old lady, 85 years of age, she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, young man, can I tell you something? I said, what is that like? And she came from my own village, actually. It was amazing. She said, tonight when you preached, I saw Jesus. That blessed me. I have had no greater blessing. £1,000 would not be as great a blessing. Because someone saw Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us. Yeah? They need to see him. Because that's their only, really, opportunity maybe, isn't it? So, love me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I could go on, but I'm not going to, but I will say this. What is happening too, so be ready. God is also purging his church. Because those who don't live right are not a part of it. Amen. And I've played God for years saying, God, because to me, it simply looks like this. Because we believe the gospel and we're spirit-filled, though we don't take into account the things that need dealing with in our lives, we think we can just go out there, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, cast out devils. And I've been asking God, why isn't it happening? It's going to happen. Because this is clean-up time.
Amen.
Amen. And people that aren't living right, it ain't going to happen for them. Because God does not give his name to falsehood. Amen. And if we've been wondering, you know, and I've been wondering, well, why are they happening? We're given an appeal. But do you know, till I gave up the ministry and spent the first year looking after my dad, and I could have thought, this is a fine thing, I'm a minister. And I had 1 year, I never preached that year, 1 year looking after my dad. And I got to know my dear dad, who was a born-again Christian, better than I'd ever known him. Yeah? And I learned something by him. I did, honestly. I didn't realise, you know, it was great. Praise God. And God is wanting to do, it's going to be painful, but it's going to be worth it. Because all those things in Mark 16, 15 to 18, we're going to see them. God promised it. You will do it. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Peter.
God bless you, Brian.
Appreciate you. Let's pray for Peter. Come on, everybody. Let's stand a moment. Praise God. Pete's had a lot of notes. Yeah? But it's not finished yet. In fact, it's made up.
Amen.
It doesn't come easy. He's had a good dad. He's taught him on. He's got a... Jake, would you like to join us? Please. Just stand with us. You know, I always say this. Behind every good man is an even better woman. Without my wife... Come on, guys, let's pray. Aim your hands this way, everybody. Come on, if you feel you have a word for Peter, he needs encouragement. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Come on, just pray. Come on, you fellas and you ladies that can pray. We're all part of the kingdom of God. If you're hearing the word of God, then you believe the word of God. You believe that you've got these gifts that are dormant inside of you. Come on, you might have a prophetic word for them. You might have a word of encouragement for them. Come on, do it, do it. Don't stand back there. Come and do it. Come and pray. If you feel you want to lay hands on them, come on. I know we're all Christians in here tonight. Come on, let's honour God. And let's believe. Wisbeach needs a touch of God. I'm sure there are good godly people in this place. You know, they need encouragement. Come on, come on, come on and pray. Come on, everybody, and pray. Come on, all of you. Come on out here for a minute and lay hands on them. Praise God. I'm not ashamed to ask you. Come on, if you love God, if you're spirit filled, come on. If you know God, come on. You too, if you know God. You're okay.
Yeah.
Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, I'll just leave you two.
Thank you.
You two, you've got a prayer for them. Just come and pray.
Yeah,
thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's speak in that heavenly language where God reveals the mysteries of the kingdom into our hearts and lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just pray. Just pray for them. Hallelujah. I understand they've got Melbourne Banks in the end of towards the end of the year, but that's a long time away. We want God to do something now, don't we? He's a now God. Hallelujah, Lord. From the day we pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for their resilience, Lord. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Just undertake, we pray, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I'll pray for them, Felix.
Oh, Father, we just thank you for this, my God, for you tonight, Lord. We thank you, my God, that you bring these out, Lord, that you have broken them, my God. Lord God, there might be not many people here today, Lord, but you say what two or three
shall be. You're here, Lord.
You're here.
Hallelujah.
It's no matter, Lord, Lord, it's about you, Lord. It is all about you, Lord. Lord, we just smile at all of us, take it out of the way, and allow Jesus to work, Lord, in the name of Jesus, your Father, God, Lord. Pour your mind upon these people, Lord, and use them in a mighty and wonderful way. Let the family, Lord, let the family, Lord, let every head that we represent.
Just surprise.
In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Thank you,
Lord. Just surprise, Lord. Lord, let your royal rule, Lord.
Not just a wife.
The kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And you're anointed on the dimension she's never experienced because of it. Thank you, Father.
Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Faithfully. Faithfully, Lord.
That's just touching you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. It's your word, Lord. It's your kingdom. Thank you. They're your servants, Lord.
Father,
it's you to
heal.
Jesus.
thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. You know, Brian was sharing that God was just underlining a few things, because the Lord dropped some things into my spirit just a couple of days back, and this last week. You know, just as I've been waiting on him for, you know, what this weekend would entail. You know, God gave me two real messages. Really, Brian's just under the inspiration of God has just brought an underlining to both those. Because I remember this weekend we're going to meet with God. You know, we've had some two great services. One was this morning.
Yes.
We were packed in a little room, which we don't normally get into that room, but yeah, for whatever happened yesterday in the hall. And we was put into this little lounge, and it was a packed. I wasn't sure we could all get in, but we squeezed in, but that was a great little service. Tonight, not as many, but fantastic service. Because we hear from the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
And tomorrow, I believe, will be just as good. You know, as we come together. We've got the service at 2:30 tomorrow, and then again at 6 o'clock, here in this place. And in between the services tomorrow, we're going to provide a little buffet tea, so if you can make it and stay with us, we'll look after you. So bless you, Brian. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for me.
Really good. Just want to pray and commit this to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you that we're in your presence. We thank you that you've got so much planned for us.
Yes.
The thoughts you have for us are thoughts of good. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the way you're speaking to our hearts, the way you're bringing us forward, Lord, the way you're touching us, Lord, and preparing us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan, and Lord, we thank you that we're surrendering to your will, Lord, and you're talking to us, Lord. And Lord, you're leading us into that plan. And we thank you for what we've heard tonight, the testimonies that we've heard. And Lord, the word that has been given, Lord, the prayers that have been prayed. Lord, we thank you tonight that you're just the same.
Yes.
You're just the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, Lord God.
And Lord, we thank you that as we've listened and you've stirred up within us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that it won't be just hearing what you're saying, but Lord, that we will practice what you're saying. Lord, we thank you that you've told us, commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Hallelujah.
You've told us to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, because we have received. Freely we should freely give it, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you that you love the world.
Praise you.
And by your Spirit you shed abroad your love in our hearts too. Lord, that we may go with your love. But we thank you, Lord, that we've been reminded this very night that it's our relationship with you that matters. That we want to be in love, and we are in love, and we want to keep in love with you, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that what we've heard will develop in our hearts and in our lives. We shall seek your face, because you said, seek my face. Lord, that we shall seek and find, because you promised that those who seek you will find you.
Yes.
And Lord, that as we surrender to your plan and purpose for our lives, Lord, we will go out in the fullness of the blessing. It was in worship, Lord, that you sent the prophet. Who will go for us, you said. And the prophet could say, here am I. Send me. Lord, let us be in worship. Let us be around the throne, Lord. Let us be in love with Jesus. Let us come into the throne room, come into the place of worship, and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, in the beauty of holiness. Let us come to you, Lord, that we may also hear those words and be ready to respond. So, Lord, bless each and every life here, from the youngest to the oldest, that each one of us shall be tools in your hands.
Yes,
Lord, that we will be fit for your use. Not broken, not rusty, but ready. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.